Take your Bibles and open them up to the New Testament. Luke is where we're going to be this morning. Luke 17 is where we go. As we continue our series titled, I Have Attitude, we are talking about learning to live with an attitude of gratitude, allowing our lives to become different. And so the title for this morning is Thanking Changes My Thinking. Thanking changes my thinking. If you were with us last night, you know what we did. We held a pro wrestling event here. Absolutely amazing. I had no idea they were as complicated as they were. This room looks a lot different today than it did last night. Last night, if you could have seen this room, the floor was empty, chairs were surrounding the side, and there were, last time I was standing in here, wrestlers were practicing the moves they would be using in the finishing stages of the wrestling match. This is where the wrestlers were staged before they went out the back door. It was an incredible evening. For those of you who were wondering, Chris Whaley is still alive this morning. He did survive the evening. I'm sure he is sore, but he did survive, and he walked out of the ring, and he did well. And so we were excited for that. The live stream of that event is a 2.5-hour extravaganza. If you ordered the live stream, you saw it, and you got to hear it live, just like we did. And if you did not, in about a week, it will be available on our website or on YouTube for you to watch as often as you want and to share with your friends and enemies if you want. I can tell you the commentary pieces are just incredible. Wow, man. You know, I think I found my limit. You know, people always wonder, how long could a pastor talk? I found my limit last night. Live 2.5-hour wrestling broadcast, that was plenty, especially when we had no script. We were just filling gaps, were we not, Scott? Yep. Mud Dauber, of course, he was. I know, Mud Dauber was here, his alter ego, and so we had a good time with that. All right. We go to Luke chapter 17. We continue our look at being grateful. And we started this whole idea, the series, with this idea that having gratitude is fundamental for a deep and meaningful relationship with Christ. Matter of fact, if your life is going to be the best version of the life that you were created to live, part of that existence is going to be that you have and carry with you an attitude of gratitude. Last week we talked about the fact that grumbling and complaining undermine the grace of God and will poison your heart if you let it go unchecked. And so we talked about crumbling the grumbles. And I know some of you have been praying that this week, and you've even heard from some of you about how that's working for you. Today, I want to talk to you about how gratitude enables you to overcome your problems instead of being overcome by them. Now, believe it or not, that's good news. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and we really begin to understand in the Bible what we were created for and how we were created to live, the great news is that, yes, we're all going to have problems. But you have something within you, as Jesus lives in you, that helps you overcome those problems. And how you face those becomes radically different. The secret ingredient, the secret sauce, if you will, is gratitude. And I am convinced, as sure as I'm standing up here, that there are a number of people, maybe even in this room, who are not experiencing the life that they were created to live because they're simply just not thankful enough for the life that they have. Now, while that sounds tough, that's all of us from time to time. The quest for us is to make sure that we line our lives up and live lives of gratitude. And here's the good news. You can. And you can change the way that you think by learning to be thankful. In other words, you can rewire your brain. And the Bible talks about that, that we are, our minds begin to change. The renewing of our mind is talked about. In other words, Jesus begins to work and he begins to change the way you think. And so long we have used as the excuse, I just can't do that because that's just not the way I am. Right. But after you come to know Christ, you don't stay the way you am. He changes you, and he begins rewiring you. And from the inside out, his fire burns within you. It begins to change you, and you can choose to think differently. You really, really can. And if you say that you can't, what you have done is you've put up the first barrier to any creative thought that's going to get you over the hump. In other words, you've then made a choice to stay miserable. And you don't have to live that way. And so today we're going to take a very practical look, and we're going to a passage of Scripture that most of the time is used in situations where the topic becomes being thankful. So it's a familiar passage, probably. Pick up in verse 11 with me of chapter 17, book of Luke. It says this, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Now, hold on just a second there, and make sure you get the picture. As Jesus and disciples are moving into this village, there is a group of lepers, and they're not allowed to be in the village. They are on the outskirts. They're on the outskirts of humanity. They are unclean. They're not allowed to do or participate in anything. But Jesus is on his way to this village with the disciples. They see him, and what they know about him is enough to compel them to throw what is a spiritual Hail Mary. There's nothing about this that says that they believe that Jesus can heal them. There's nothing about it says it. But they've heard about him. They know about him. They've heard that he does miracles. And so they cry out, "Have mercy on us," or "Have pity on us." Verse 14, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Now recognize, too, the end of that passage is important. Jesus says, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." He's not talking about leprosy anymore. Because man comes back, man's already clean. See, he doesn't have leprosy now. He's come back to Jesus to thank him for being clean. And then Jesus' response to him is, "Rise, your faith has made you well." He's now talking about the spiritual. And so, 10 people with the opportunity to be physically clean, only one came back and was changed spiritually from what we know, which meant that 90% of them didn't bother to say thanks. I wonder if we were to take a poll or survey of folks who spend their life in and around church and spiritual things, if you would be in the 10% or the 90%. How often is it that you are so busy focused on those things that are not good or those things that need to be addressed that you want to change that you've missed the opportunity to say thanks to God for 90% of the stuff that he's doing in your world? And if that's you, you have a spiritual problem. I mean, there's no shortcutting that. There is something very serious about this whole idea that we need to learn to give thanks. Luke is the only author of the Gospels that picks this story up. I want to believe, and we can check this out when we get to heaven, I think it's because Luke probably met this man that said thanks. Luke was a doctor. I think the medical stories got Luke's attention. And he gives enough details to know that there were 9 that didn't come back, but 1 did. And he kind of knows enough of the details to think, this was something that I need to share. Because this is a big deal for Luke. It's a big deal for Jesus. It's such a big deal that Jesus does point out, "Well, where are the rest? Just you. Okay. Your faith made you well. Go. Go show yourself to the priest." His words are interesting because Luke reminds us of how rare it is for people to be thankful. We're coming up in a season of Thanksgiving, and Christmas is just around the corner. So you're going to see all sorts of Thanksgiving things to remind you, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Some of you have been saying to God, thank you for something at the top of every hour. And we continue to do that. Why? Because it needs to become a habit. Because you've got to do it for 30 days or it's not going to be a habit. You've got to get to the point in your life where you're doing it. Some are still resistant, which is just funny. Someone said to me this morning, "I'm not doing that whole now what thing you're doing." Okay. I'm just not doing it. Okay. And I think they were expecting me to ask why. But I didn't, because it makes no sense. Why would we not be thankful? Why would we not say thanks? why would we not take the time to celebrate what God is doing in our life? If you've got a better plan, I'm all for that. You got a better system? Then share with the rest of us how you're thankful. Because at the end of the day, to put up a resistance and say, I'm just not going to do that because it just seems so silly to me. Okay, then you got a better plan. What's your plan? How are you doing the things that you need to do to be able to say thanks to God? How has it become a habit in your life? How did you make it a habit in your life? Are you that kind of person? Because if I ask the people around you, is this somebody that's thankful? Would they just go, yeah, this person's thankful all the time. They're living life and they're blessed. They'll tell you about that. I mean, is that the life that you live? And if not, why not? Don't we have something to be thankful for? Aren't we excited about what God has done? Aren't we thrilled about how he works in our life and he changes us? See, this is important to God. It's important to God because it's important for you. Because this strikes at the heart of whether or not you're going to live a life full of joy. And he came so you could have abundant life, and part of that life is joy. Years ago, there was a pastor who lived in a seaside town, and he was giving his report to a congregation, his church, kind of reporting back to them what had been going on. And he said this in his report. He said, I will report to you that 9 persons have been lost at sea. Immediately, that got a reaction in the congregation. There was a buzz that began to kind of murmur, and there was some conversation. People were turning their heads, kind of talking to each other. And he let it kind of go on for a minute. And the people were bothered by it. And finally, he said, let me explain what I just said to you. I said 9 people were lost at sea. Here's why I said that. 11 of you came to me and requested that I pray for your loved one who was going out to sea for their safe return. Only 2 of you have come back to me to say, thank you for those prayers, and they came back. So I'm just going to have to assume that 9 of them are dead. Now, the reality of that is, well, that's pretty tough. Okay, so when's the last time you asked someone to pray for you, you were serious about it, and then when the prayer was answered and God came through, you didn't take the time to thank God or thank the person who prayed for you? Not such a stretch now, is it? Not so harsh now, is it? Welcome to the 90%. See, we are people who by nature are always moving on to the next thing, and we are doing so quickly that we're not grateful for the things that he does. And so this was the pastor's way of calling them out, saying, listen, boneheads, you need to be thankful. But he didn't want to call them boneheads, so he just said, thereby died. I'm not sure what's worse, but anyway, that's what he did. There was a man who went to a post office. He was a senior adult, and he walked into the post office, and he walked to the counter, and he had with him a postcard. And he said, could you fill in the address for me? And the guy behind the counter was being very nice, and he said, sure, I'll be happy to. What's the address? And he filled it out, and then the gentleman said, could you turn it over and actually write a quick little note for me? And sure, I'd be happy to do that. He's being very helpful. You know, United States Postal Service, customer service at its finest. Here we go. Good. And people are scribbling that down, and they're writing that. And then he finally said, so, sir, is there anything else I can help you with? And the guy took a look at the card, and he looked at the front. He flipped it over. He looked at the back, and he said, yeah, could you put a P.S. on it? I said, sure, by all means. So he wrote P.S., and he said, what else can I put on you? He said, I'd like you to write P.S. Please excuse the sloppy handwriting. It is, we always want just a little bit more. It's just never good enough, right? You know, you ask somebody to do something and they help, but it's just a smidge more. And so we live our lives sometimes caught in that tension of learning to how we successfully express gratitude. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes this, and this is where it becomes troublesome. Because it's a fun topic, and it's fun to thank God for things at the top of the hour, and you guys have been sharing how that works, and we have stories of folks who have said to the servers that we're praying for you at the top of the hour, so we're going to thank God for you. And then the server has come back to them in the restaurant and said, well, and I did the same thing at the top of the hour because you're my customer. And alarms that keep going off at the top of the hour, and then you have somebody say, well, thank you very much. I mean, it's one of those things where you are learning and developing some habits that are changing who you are and how you're facing things. And it starts as a game, but it becomes something more meaningful than that. Here's why that's important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes, but mark this. Now, when the Bible says, take special note of this, that's kind of a big deal, right? And so he says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. So then he goes and starts putting together a list of the terrible things that are going to happen in the last days. These are the terrible things in the last days. This is that list. He says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, and then he drops in this bombshell, ungrateful, and he ties it to the next word, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I got news for you. That's a bad list. And right in the middle of that list, he says, ungratefulness. I come back to what I said earlier. This is a big deal to God. Whether or not you have a grateful, thankful heart is a big deal to God. And he wraps up in verse 5. Having a form of godliness but denying his power, and then this is the phrase that's the kicker. He says, have nothing to do with such people. In other words, if people live this way, if this is how people are, you need to give yourself a little bit of distance from them so they do not suck you into that dark abyss of being unthankful and ungodly. In other words, he has this whole listing of stuff that's all this ungodly stuff, and he says, if you know people who are like this, you stay away from them. What? Smack in the middle of the list. Ungrateful. Again, I come back to the point. This matters more than you know. And many people are not living the life they were created to live because they are not thankful. See, we complain about life sometimes. Do you complain because rose bushes have thorns, or do you rejoice because thorns have roses on the end of them? It's not splitting hairs. It's the way you look at life. You can be mad that the roses have thorns on them. Or you can be thrilled that at the end of the thorns, you find a rose. Who are you? How is it that you've chosen to live life? How is it that you've chosen to process life? Because gratitude comes from the root word of grace, and we talked about that. Thanksgiving comes from a root word of think. Think. And from the word think, it expands, and we develop this concept of thanksgiving. So in other words, by its very nature, thanksgiving begins with what you think about. And how you think begins to become more. Paul says again in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The instruction is clear. And here's where you go back to what we said earlier. If you are not thankful, you have no joy. Because you're too busy not being grateful for what God has done, but focused on what's not right. Someone said one time, and it's true, be grateful for what you have and stop complaining. Here's why. It bores everybody else. It doesn't do you any good, and it solves not one single problem. In other words, your grumbling and complaining is worthless. It's boring, and at the end of the day, it makes you dull. And no one wants to be around you. Why would they? Because you too then become that person that's dragging them down into that abyss of the ungodly behavior that was listed by Paul. And what does the Bible say? Give yourself a little distance there. Don't let that person become an influence in your life. Self-check, heart check time. People putting you at arm's length. They're putting distance between you. Is it possible that it's because you're not thankful and you spend all of your time robbing others of the joy that they experience in following Jesus, and they know you're supposed to be experiencing it, but you simply don't? See, God takes this incredibly seriously, and he wants us to get it right. And so there's three things that we have to remember about learning to be people of gratitude that come out of this passage. The first one is simply this. Gratitude begins with the source. Look at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. See, a reason to be thankful, if you have nothing else you can find, is God's presence in your life. Greatest day of these guys' lives, these lepers' lives, was the day that Jesus got close to them. Best day ever. Because they now had a source for something that they could really be thankful about. After living their life on the outskirts, being considered unclean, not being able to worship, not being able to be with their families, greatest day of their lives when Jesus got close. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the greatest day of your life is a day that you invited him into your heart and accepted his gift of salvation and you started living differently. And if you didn't start living differently, then you messed up. Because he came not for your heaven ticket, he came so that you could have joy in the here and now. And so, we have to remember that when you want to live a life of gratitude, you have to begin with the source. Because, as crazy as it sounds, if you can't be grateful for what you have now, it doesn't matter what you're pursuing, what you want to do, what you think you want to do with life. What makes you think on any planet you're going to be thankful when you get to what you're pursuing if you're not thankful now on the way? I'll be happy and thankful if this will happen. Really? No, you won't. You're lying to yourself because you're not happy now. If you can't find something to be thankful for now and find joy in the here and now, you won't be if you fill in the gap. We're always convincing ourselves, because the culture teaches us this, if we could just do this, if you just have this, if I could just be like this person, do these things, or experience these things, then I would be happy and fulfilled. Nope. You'd be happy for a minute, you'll never be fulfilled. Because to get there, you've lied to yourself. Because if you can't take inventory of your life and be grateful for the now, then you'll never be grateful for anything that's out there in the great somewhere. Because the source of gratitude begins and ends in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have accepted him, when you believe in him, when you trust him, then he then takes the life that you have and he allows you to see that life as a gift and see it differently. Did you get up this morning and thank him at the top of the hour for being alive? He gave you one more hour above the dirt today. Pretty good day. There are some who cannot say that. And so you begin this day opening your eyes and knowing that you've got this day as a gift that God has given you. What are you going to do with the hours of this day and be thankful for this gift that God has given you? Or did he just waste a day on you? I mean, how many of us have gone through days where we just griped and complained all day? We just worried about what was wrong. We just felt bad for ourselves. We wallowed in our self-pity. And somewhere in the midst of our self-pity, we wasted the day that God gave us, and it's a day you can never have back, ever, ever. You never get it back. And then the feeling that you have, that overwhelming feeling you have, my life is just escaping me. It's just blowing past me. I'm losing it. Well, yeah, you are losing it because you've not been grateful for the life you've been given. Quit squandering the gift that God gives and live the life that he has given you and find the good in that. In The Hiding Place, some of you have seen the movie, some of you read the book, story of Corrie ten Boom. Amazing story. She explains, the backup to the story is Corrie and her sister during World War II, they had been harboring Jewish people in their home. They get caught, they get arrested, they get sent to a concentration camp, Ravensbrück camp. As the story goes by, you find out that the barracks that they were assigned to is infested with fleas. One morning, they read in the tattered Bible from 1 Thessalonians that the reminder that we've looked at to rejoice in all things. And Betsy says to Corrie, Corrie, we've got to give thanks for this barracks, even for the fleas. Corrie replies, no way am I going to thank God for fleas. But Betsy was persuasive. And they did. And out loud, as part of their prayer life, they began thanking God as they prayed out loud for his word, their barracks, and the fleas. Those nasty fleas. During the months that followed, they found out that the place that they lived, their barracks, was left relatively unsupervised. It was their safe place. It was that place where they could harbor that hope that was keeping them alive. They could do Bible study. They could talk openly. They could even pray. It was the only place they had. In this horrendous place that was a refuge. They discovered that months later, the reason the guards left them alone and never entered the barracks was because of those nasty fleas. The guards didn't want to be infested with fleas. They didn't want to have anything to do with the fleas. So the very thing that they hated and complained about was God's provision and the source of protection in the midst of that camp. Are there some fleas that you need to thank God for? See, when our life comes along and it starts unraveling, then it gets tough. And it's easy to get overwhelmed with all that's wrong. Man, fleas can be bad. There's other stuff that can be bad too. And yet as you compile that list of all that's wrong, are you running parallel with that list of all that's wrong, all that's right? Are you looking at that checklist of all those things that need to be done, that need to be fixed, that you need to take care of, and at the same time, are you running a checklist alongside that, all the things that God has done and how he has provided and how he's fixing it? See, we want God to fix everything right now because if he did, we would be happy. But I just told you that was a lie. Because if he fixed everything that you wanted to be fixed right now so you could be happy, you would find another list of things that now need to be fixed so you could be happy. Why? Because we're flea infested. And we're not good at thanking God for the fleas. Jesus is indeed the source. He is the source. He is the starting point for gratitude. Gratitude always begins with the source. The second thing I want you to see is gratitude also discovers a resource. Verse 12, as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Two things kind of jump out. One, Jesus is moving into a village, but notice if you go back to the beginning of the passage, he is in a village as he's walking along that border on Samaria. In other words, Jesus has taken the disciples into what is a hostile territory. See, Jews didn't consider the Samaritans to be people at all. And Samaritans didn't like Jews. So the fact that Jesus had taken his disciples there was a big deal. The fact that there were some people there near that village that called out to him, realistically were a band of lepers who were Jews and Samaritans because misery does like company. And when you're an outcast, better to be an outcast with a Samaritan or a Jew than to be an outcast and all by yourself. So they would have clumped together. But there's nothing about this story that would lead you to believe that a Jewish rabbi with a group of students would have stopped for an instant to listen or respond to a group of 10 people yelling for help. Because lepers were unclean and they weren't considered people either. The fact that Jesus stopped and responded is huge, but what he says is essential. Go show yourself to the priest. And the scripture says, and as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, not when Jesus spoke it. I mean, Jesus didn't do the televangelist thing and through the power of the airway send out a healing. That's not the way it works. Jesus said, you go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, and as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine that walk? So what if they hadn't gone? What if they just stood there and go, man, we called out to Jesus and he didn't help us. He told us to go show ourselves to the priest. They're not going to let me in the temple. They're not going to let me in the courts. I can't go show myself. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowing people. That was a flop. They could have done that. And you know what would have happened? They wouldn't have been healed. Because in one instant, Jesus gave them something to do, and because of their obedience, they were healed. Can you imagine walking down the road with these 10 guys, and all of a sudden, one of them looks at you, your skin's clearing up a little bit. That little blotchy thing on your face where you look like your nose is getting ready to fall off? You look a little stable now. That spot on your arm? I'm always afraid you're going to bump up against me. It disappeared. And imagine the walk. The further they went, the cleaner they got, the cleaner they got, the cleaner they got, to the point where one guy finally goes, dude, I'm good. These guys are now making their way. I mean, they're going to go show themselves to the priest. They have to go through the rituals that will allow them to go back home. But, I mean, they're getting ready to re-enter society. And one of them says, you know what? That can wait for a minute. I need to go back and thank this guy and find the guy because I'm good. And he goes back to say thanks. Being obedient helps your gratitude. Some of you struggle with gratitude because you ain't being obedient. Oh, you pray and cry out to God when you need help. But do you thank him when he comes through and answers a prayer? We go back to the story that pastor said. None of you came back and said, thanks for letting them survive. They must have died. Some of you feel like, well, my prayer life never gets off the ground. You know why? Because a lot of your prayers are dying before they get out of the room because you don't serious about praying. Not because God's not willing to respond. And all of a sudden, because they were obedient, they found the healing. And the guy with gratitude comes back and discovers not just wellness, but wholeness. Because of the 10, he's the one that came back, and Jesus said, your faith has made you well, made you whole, you're complete. We miss so many of the little things that God is doing, never realizing that those little things are big to God. We want God to do something big and spectacular, and along the way we keep missing all the little things that he's doing. And trust me when I tell you this, and I don't want to overstate this, but if God cares enough about you to intervene in your life and do something that's little, that's huge. Because why in the world would the creator of the universe take time with people like you and I to do anything at all? He saved you. He's answered prayers. He's intervened for you. He's shown up when no one else would show up. That's huge. And for some of us, it's not enough. We still dare to look back at God and grumble and gripe. Because what happens is we lose sight of what he's doing and we forget that there's a resource that happens in our life that becomes the healthiest of all emotions when we start thinking differently and allow God to change us and change the way that we view the world. That's what it means to be a follower. That's what it means to be someone who is serious about following that call of Christ. And let me get you to the third thing. Gratitude also is defined by the source book. By the source book, I'll explain that in a minute. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, where not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The last thing that we've got to remember about giving God thanks is that we're commanded to do so. Remember the passage I read earlier? Ungratefulness. That's on the big list of bad stuff. The Bible says, give thanks in all things. That's who we're supposed to be. You know, we did this wrestling event last night, and David Tindall actually made the point as we were kind of talking last night. And I had noticed it over the course of the day, because one of the things we just kept saying, anybody that was working the event, that was interacting with the wrestlers, discovered something that was absolutely amazing. I don't know why it was surprising, but it was amazing. And I think one of the reasons is because we, as a ministry here at the Church of 434, we partner with a number of other ministries and do a lot of things. And one of the things that you need to know that happens behind the scenes when those events are over with is we will sit down and take an honest look. We always ask for your feedback. We take your feedback and we take a look at the event that we had, who we worked with, and stuff like that. To be honest with you, some of you have asked the question before, why don't we do this anymore? Or why we did this once before, why don't we do this again? There's a real good chance that behind the scenes, when we kind of did an evaluation, we made the decision that, you know what, we don't want to be associated with that style of ministry or that project because these folks did these things which really doesn't shine the light of Christ like we want it to. Now, as your leaders, we try to make those kind of decisions and guide us in the right direction and make those partnerships good. So you can imagine, obviously, when Chris Whaley comes and says, hey, you want to do a wrestling event? We did a survey. We did the research all night long. Our research team was working around the clock to figure this out for you. We could find no other church in America yesterday that did a wrestling event. We were the only one. So, churches obviously are not lining up for pro wrestling events. There was, even though we were running on Mr. Whaley's gasoline, there's a little bit of trepidation about, you know, we don't know what we're getting ready to get into here because, you know, because some of you have a preconceived notion of what professional wrestling is all about. You think you know. Because you know it's real. And you expect those bad guys to be bad. As Chris explained to us, the end is predetermined. Getting there is very, very real. Ask anybody who fell in that ring yesterday. Ask anybody. Ask Chris Wade when he took that first lick, and I thought, oh, please move, Chris. Please move. Okay, you're up. You're good. But we didn't know what it was going to be like. Every wrestler that walked through our doors thanked us, came over and said, thank you for letting us be here. They introduced themselves to us, said, we're so excited to be here. We really appreciate it. Every one of them. Every one of them. The guys in the Battle Royal took out the trash. Our guest took out the trash and put it in a dumpster. When we have an event, sometimes you guys run when we look for somebody to take out the trash. Our guest did that. As they begin working and have been trying to do things, even when they were leaving, thank you so much. Can we help you clean up? Can we help you do this? Can we help you do this? Again, it was, and I mean, I may be stretching a little bit, so someone can correct me if I'm wrong. It is probably the nicest group of people we have ever partnered with in any ministry over 30 years. That's who these guys were. David Tindall made the observation last night, and he goes, isn't that how the church should be? Shouldn't we be those people that walk up and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. How can I help you? Thanks for letting me be here. Thanks for letting me be part of life. Isn't that what we're supposed to be as church? It's amazing what you learn when you pay attention to pro wrestling. There's some important life lessons in that. Learning to be thankful, learning to be appreciative, noticing what's being done, not living your life like a prima donna that doesn't care, not floating through life like a diva, like somebody owes you something, not spending your time and spinning your wheels thinking you're some kind of princess that you pulled up on your own juice. You're a prince or a princess because the Son of God died and adopted you and made you a part of the royal family. You didn't do one darn thing to be royal. And you don't have it in you to be that. You ain't a prince or a princess without Jesus. But as a child of the King, you get the kingdom. And that ought to evoke in you a thankfulness that just doesn't stop. When's the last time you asked somebody, hey, how you doing? You probably did it today. Got a novel idea for you this week. Instead of saying, hey, how you doing? Why don't you just walk and say, hey, what you thankful for? Well, that might start a conversation, now, wouldn't it? That would change the default answer. I'm fine, how are you? Oh, wait, you didn't ask me that. Well, no, you not here? Listen, what are you thankful for? I had somebody, before they left, after 9 o'clock service, truck to my office, knock on the door and say, can I bother you for just a minute? I know you're getting ready for the 11 o'clock worship service because that 11 o'clock crowd is tough. That's what they said. I said, sure, come bother me. And they came in and said, you know, and they said, I work, and they explained where they work. They said, I'm not sure my boss is going to let me have this spiritual conversation, and I don't know if I'm not allowed to say, you know, what are you thankful for? How do you think I can get there? And so we get to have this conversation about, well, how can you engage your customers in a conversation that's going to lead you to this moment? By the time they walked out the door, I said, you know, I think that's going to work. I think that's going to do. I can do this. And so they're going out this week with a specific task of not saying, hey, how you doing? But to deal with the people that they meet each day in customer service settings and get to the point of, what are you thankful for? How awesome is that? To open a conversation about being thankful and what it looks like. See, our source book is the Bible. And over again, we see the importance of gratitude. Paul says we're to be joyful and pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. And then he adds this phrase, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will for your life? Be thankful in all things. Follow him. Be thankful. That means when you're getting ready to gripe about what you don't like, maybe you just ought to think just a minute before you say it. See, we feel like if we don't tell somebody or let somebody know how we feel, that something bad is going to happen, that we're going to explode. You ever seen that? Really? Really? You ever seen somebody explode? I'm talking internal combustion here. You ever seen that? See, Richard, how long were you a pastor? 24 years. Did you ever visit anybody in the hospital that exploded because they were supposed to say something and they just held it in and held it in because they were going to explode if they didn't say it? You had to go visit them in the hospital. ICU, because they didn't say it, right? You never had to do that, did you? See, I've been doing 30 years too. I've never been to hospital, visit anybody. Well, why are they here? Well, Pastor, they're here because they exploded. What did they explode of? Because they had something inside that they wanted to say, but they just didn't say it. And they exploded. Oh, it's a shame. It's a shame. I've never held anybody's hand. I've never prayed them into glory because they didn't explode. I get so tickled at why we think that it's so important that you let out of your mouth the dumb thought in your head. I just had to say it. Why? Well, I needed to. Why? Because I can't keep it bottled up. Sure you can. Put a lid on it. Screw it down. You won't explode. Hear me carefully. You won't explode. How do you not explode? Give it back to God. Find out those things that you need to be thankful for. It will keep you from exploding. See, when you explode and you let whatever is in your head out your mouth, I can promise you what just came out your mouth was worse than that green toxic venom that guy spit last night in the wrestling matches. Johnny Knockout was a man. When you ask him, what was in your mouth? He said, just a Jolly Rancher. You won't explode. You won't die if you just don't let out your feelings. Unless the feeling is gratitude, let that one loose. Matter of fact, if you let that fly, that's like helium. And you will change, you will be lighter, and you know what? If you keep doing enough, you'll talk funny like this. Because it's good for you. It is good for you. Gratitude and having a good attitude are not challenges. They're choices. You choose which it's going to be. I just struggle with my attitude. Okay? Stop. I can't. Yeah, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. I don't know how. I just told you how. We just gave you three things that you can do. Well, that's not good enough. I know. Isn't it sad that the Bible's just not good enough anymore? What a shame. It's a choice. So we're going to take off the table forever your excuse of, well, I just can't. Yeah, you can. It's up to you. And you can choose to be a person who is gracious. There was a little boy. His name was Jimmy. He went to school one day on show and tell day, and he took with him his pet. It was a pet fish. Jimmy arrived at school that day. It came time for show and tell, and sadly, fish don't always travel well in the car. So when Jimmy gets up for show and tell, he gets up and he notices that the fish is not moving. The teacher, being a quick-witted, creative teacher, said, look at Jimmy's fish. It's showing us how to float. He's so good at floating. Knowing that the fish is dead, knowing that Jimmy knows he's dead, but trying not to cause a panic in the class. So when it's over with, the teacher has that conversation, that death conversation with Jimmy. And Jimmy, being a good Baptist, says, well, you know what? We need to have a funeral and a potluck. But Jimmy's young. He doesn't know enough yet. He doesn't know that potlucks can kill you. And he doesn't know. He doesn't know how all that happens because he's not old enough to even write yet. I mean, he's in a little dinky dude, you know, pre-KK class. But the teacher's trying to help him, and he goes, "We need to have a funeral for my fish." And the teacher says, "Okay." He's going to take the opportunity. It's going to be have a life-death conversation here. We're going to bury the fish. And so Jimmy says, "You know, I've been to cemeteries, and they have, like, these things. Tombstones, yes, tombstones. And they say who's there." And so the teacher says, "Well, you want to make a tombstone?" "Yes." And so they cut out a tombstone. And she says, "Well, what is the fish's name?" And the fish's name, I want to make sure I get it right, was Mobert. M-O-B-E-R-T, Mobert. Mobert. Again. And so, wrote Mobert on there. And Jimmy looked at that and he liked it, but it looked a little blank. And so he says, "They also, what else do they put on tombstones?" And the teacher said, "Well, you know, they usually put when they were born and when they passed away." But he goes, I don't know that. "Okay, we don't have to put that. But don't they put anything else?" "Well, sometimes they put a saying about the person on there." "Let's do that." And so she said, "Okay, well, we have Mobert here. What do you want to say about Mobert?" And this is Jimmy's response. "Put down, he was fun while he lasted." That's a little kid who learned to celebrate and be grateful for what he had, even if he didn't have it anymore. This life that we have is fun, but it doesn't last. There's a day that, just like Mobert, we're going to take the proverbial dirt nap. And in that moment, your eternity then is defined by, did you live an attitude, life with an attitude of gratitude, where you took each day and were grateful to God for it, or did you squander the life that he gave you and waste this opportunity to impact the world with the love of Christ? Thinking and how you think matters. And thanking God for what he does changes the way you think. It will renew your mind. Even when you got a bad case of fleas. Let's pray. God, our lives, if we were to somehow describe them to you, and you know us well, is a series of ups and downs, good moments, not so good moments, things that we worry and struggle with, things that seem to just pass us by and go unnoticed. And sometimes we have to slow down long enough and really think through and look at how we live and how we choose to think about this world, this life that we've been given. Your word clearly teaches us that the attitude that we're supposed to have is gratitude. That's one of the things that happens when we get to know you, when we grow in you, when you take over and kind of move through our lives. And so all of us are in a place where our attitude has to constantly be growing and gratitude gets stronger and stronger each day. Lord, there are some in this room, some who will watch online, and maybe they've never come to that moment where they've accepted your gift of eternal life. And right now, my hope for them is that they would simply pray this prayer with me. God, I've blown it. I am a sinner. I've made mistakes. But yet you love me enough to pay the price for those mistakes. And you went to a cross and died. And then you came back to life, defeating death and offering to me a chance to live eternally in heaven with you and experience abundant life as a follower here and now. That's what I want this day. Nothing magical about that prayer, but Lord, if that's prayer of the heart and the head, then that's how the journey begins. And so for anyone who's prayed that, I pray that before they would leave this place this morning, they would give us a note that says, I've asked Jesus into my heart. If they're watching online, that they would just simply send us an email and say, I believe, I'm trusting, I'm going to follow. What do I do now? And give us a chance to encourage them and come alongside of them. But Lord, also in this room, we have folks who are following you. And some, they're not following as well as they need to. Perhaps we have tapped into the reason why. We've traced it back to that original first sin, ingratitude. And not being grateful is robbing us of the joy of our salvation. Well, I pray that we would this day choose to thank you so we could think differently, which would cause us to think and keep thanking you. And if that can happen, which it can, then we can change. And so that's our prayer, our hope, and our desire for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.